It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Welcome! It's Friday! Indeed. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It's Friday, May 21st, 2021, and it's 1900 UTC. Surprise! This is back to the old ways. I am not live and fumbling around. Hopefully the audio sounds better than it did yesterday, and hopefully nobody notices that I didn't change my status to lunch when I left my computer. So, fingers crossed I don't get a whole bunch of messages while I'm away recording this show. Shh, don't tell anybody. All right, well, it's Friday. It's the last day of the week. So we got tons of news because you got to stock up before the weekend. And the first story is we're going to talk about Israel real quick. So get ready. We're going to start the way we always start.
World news.
Gaza has significant trauma needs, UN says. A ceasefire agreement, hooray, reached between Israel and Palestinian armed groups in the Gaza Strip, appear to be holding on Friday, but there have been tensions in occupied East Jerusalem, where Israeli police stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound and fired tear gas at Palestinians after Friday prayers. The Egyptian-brokered ceasefire came into effect in the early hours of Friday after 11 days of relentless Israeli bombing of the besieged enclave and thousands of rockets launched into Israel by Hamas, the group ruling the Strip. Thousands of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, occupied West Bank, poured out onto the streets to celebrate the ceasefire, waving flags and flashing the V sign for victory. Israel's bombardment of Gaza killed at least 257 Palestinians, including 66 children, and brought widespread devastation to the area into the already impoverished territory. On the Israeli side, 12 people, including 2 children, were killed. So, that's a quick update from Al Jazeera there. The BBC is reporting the ceasefire began early on Friday, bringing an end to 11 days of fighting in which more than 250 people were killed. Both Israel and Hamas have claimed victory. The truce faced an early test on Friday when fresh clashes broke out at the Al-Aqsa Mosque we just talked about. Israeli police spokesman Mickey Rosenfeld told AFP News Agency that Palestinians had thrown stones at officers and that riot-suppressing measures had been taken in response. The fighting between Israel and Palestinian militants in Gaza began on 10th of May after weeks of rising Israeli-Palestinian tension in East Jerusalem that culminated in clashes at Al-Aqsa, a holy site revered by both Muslims and Jews. Hamas began firing rockets after warning Israel to withdraw from the site, triggering retaliatory airstrikes. So, lots of people have died, lots of rockets, but looks like it's holding for now. So, hopefully we won't have to hear anymore, but we'll find out. So anyway, just want to let you know about that. Let's see, is this too loud? It sounds okay. All right, so let's get rolling. Here's something a little better, or a little softer. Spain has said it's officially lifting restrictions for UK travelers from Monday when a decree takes effect. The government says the UK and Japan will be on a list of countries whose residents are able to avoid restrictions on non-essential travel to the EU. They will not need a PCR test. That's a Papa Charlie Romeo test. But the UK government still strongly advises against non-essential travel to Spain and most other EU countries. UK tourists going to Spain will still have to quarantine on their return. Prime Minister Boris Johnson's spokesman said, "We've been clear people shouldn't be traveling to Amber List nations for the purpose of holidays. Our advice hasn't changed. We'll keep the green list under review and we'll add countries where possible." Portugal is the main destination of the UK's short green list of countries that are free of the quarantine requirement. Under the UK's traffic light system, people are advised to avoid amber and red countries where the COVID risk is greater. The EU is currently deciding on an expanded white list of countries whose citizens can enter the EU freely. Only 7 with very low COVID infection rates are on the list now. Countries are Australia, Israel, New Zealand, Rwanda, Singapore, South Korea, and Thailand. The BBC has been told a final EU decision on expanding the list has been delayed for another 2 weeks. Tourism in Portugal and Spain relies heavily on British visitors in the summer, and travelers from England, Scotland, and Wales began flying to Portugal last Monday. Spain will allow for other from other non-EU countries who've been vaccinated against COVID-19 to enter the country from June 7th. Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez said they will include U.S. citizens. Mr. Sanchez said lifting of these curbs should allow Spain's summer tourism to reach 30 to 40% of 2019 levels. So, it's kind of exciting times. Attempts to come back to normal, although I'm a little worried this is so premature. I'm still a little scared of it, but hey, you know what? We shall see what happens. Speaking of premature, well, no, I'm just kidding. We've got some Brazil news here for you. Brazil's former leftist leader, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, left no doubt he was planning a finale to a dramatic political career. Brazil can be rescued after being turned into a COVID-stricken global outcast by its psychopath, President Jair Bolsonaro. The politician, best placed to defeat him in next year's presidential election, has insisted. In an interview with The Guardian, Brazil's former leftist leader, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, who is widely tipped to challenge Bolsonaro for the presidency after regaining his political rights, stopped short of explicitly confirming he would run. But Lula, who rose from rural poverty to become Brazil's first working-class president, left no doubt he was plotting an extraordinary finale to one of the world's most enduring and dramatic political careers. I ran 8 kilometers before this interview, and I usually run 9 kilometers a day, Monday to Friday, because walking around Brazil is going to be very tough, very tiring, and I need to get my legs ready to fix this country's problems. Said Lula, a former shoeshine boy and union leader who was president from 2003 until 2011. I'll be 77 by next year's election. I thought that was old, but then I saw Biden win the election at 78 and said, well, I'm a boy compared to Biden, so perhaps I might be all right. One year difference. Oh, I'm a baby. I guess when you get close to the end there, it's like, if I've only got 10 years left and you have 9 years left, well, man, I've got a whole lot of extra time maybe. Anyway, so yeah, they interviewed Lula, talked about his potential running. Lula is an energetic international statesman who promoted Brazil as a progressive champion of the developing world and leader on environmental and climate issues. He also savaged Bolsonaro's foreign policy record. After taking office in January 2019, Bolsonaro embraced Donald Trump and alienated an all-star cast of world leaders, including the French president, the German chancellor, the Chinese leader, and Joe Biden, the president of the United States, whose victory Bolsonaro took 38 days to recognize. Today, Brazil is a global pariah. There's no country with any credibility that likes Brazil. There's no country that wants to welcome the Brazilian president, and no president who wants to come here, complained Lula, who recently met with the British, German, and South African envoys in an effort to rebuild bridges with the world. That sounds pretty positive. I think it sounds good. Oh, my goodness, guys. It is time to talk some Africa news, but before we get into that, it's time to play some music. I went and hunted it down, and you know what I found?
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
I found the real Bob Dylan. This is Blowing in the Wind.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's 100% correct. Sorry about clicking the wrong sound effect there. This is news to me, and it's every day, Monday through Friday, or it's weekdays, Monday through Friday, 1900, 1930 UTC. And coming up next, after this, is the Doobie Skulls Committee with Tobe, every single day at 1930 UTC. No matter what day of the week it is, it's Dubious Committee meeting time, 1930 UTC. So definitely tune in then. I also want to point you to anonradio.net. The calendar, or the schedule, is pretty big for Fridays and Saturdays, and so definitely check it out. There's lots of cool programs, and you don't want to miss them. And if you do, hit the archives. Go to anonradio.net and click archives, and you'll get all the recent shows. It's pretty cool. It's just in the top right. You'll click on it. And the recent shows, the last 24 hours of shows, will show up at the top. But you can also look through archives. They go all the way back to 2015. So, hey, you got plenty of stuff to listen to. All right, let's go ahead and get on into our Africa news. I found a new news site. I don't know why I didn't just search around on the internet for African news and African news. But I didn't, and so I missed this website, and it's totally what I wanted to find. It's called AfricaNews.com, and so far it doesn't look like it's got any big problematic stuff going on. So let's get into it. First up, Senegal Museum reopening celebrates art back on African soil. Like many other museums around the world, the Theodore Monod Museum of Art in Dakar reopened this week after over a year of pandemic-induced closure, with a new vision and works of art returning to the continent after years. Visitors will find improvements as well as additions to the already extensive collection. Built in the early 1930s, the building housed the French Institute for Black Africa, since renamed the Fundamental Institute for Black Africa, or IFAN, India Foxtrot Alpha November, before being converted to a museum in 1960, and named for French scientist and explorer Theodore Monod in 2007. But the current exhibit celebrates Sinhalese figure Amadou Matar Mbo, the first African director of UNESCO, who turned 100 years old on Thursday. During his tenure as UNESCO chief, Mbo penned a plea for the return of an irreplaceable cultural heritage to those who created it in 1978, in which he asked that member states take measures for the return of cultural property to the countries from which it has been taken. Unparalleled in Africa, curator Elhaj Malik Ndiaye describes the collection at the Theodore Monod Museum unparalleled in Africa. Some of the works were acquired in the 19th century, and with IFAN researchers later adding art they collected in the context of their studies, figurines, masks, vessels, cloth, ornamental, or live weapons of wood, metal, earth, or leather, many from West Africa or the Sahel. Recently arrived from Paris are several works that had been on loan for years to the Kwai Brandling Museum. It isn't a restitution, it's a return, explains Ndiaye, but still, the symbolism is there. These are objects that have been returned to African soil. At the entrance of the exhibits is an installation made from crates in which artwork are transported. The symbol of the crossing, says Ndiaye. Nearby, a megalith is on display that not so long ago graced the halls of New York's Metropolitan Museum of Art. A portrait of Mbo, celebrating his centenary, hangs in the middle of the exhibit, and his appeal is prominently featured. The vicissitudes of history have robbed many peoples of a priceless portion of this inheritance in which their enduring identity finds its embodiment. The men and women of these countries have the right to recover these cultural assets, which are part of their being. So Ndiaye laments the fact that the museum's 9,000 works of art were forced into invisibility by the pandemic, as well as the loss of revenue. But the Institute seized on the closure as an opportunity. Improvements have been made to lighting. Direct sunlight that once glared in from openings is now diffused. Work carried on up to hours before the public was admitted in the quest for post-pandemic normalcy. Ndiaye says the museum is the admiral ship that symbolizes the return. Huzzah! Way to go. That's good news. More than 15 political parties in Libya stress priority of December 24th elections. A group of representatives of more than 15 political parties and affiliations have unanimously underlined the need to break the endless cycle of transitions and for all relevant authorities and institutions in Libya to prioritize the election scheduled for December 24th, 2021. And in Nigeria, Nigeria's Boko Haram leader wounded in clashes. Nigeria's Boko Haram leader Abubakar Shekau has been seriously wounded after trying to kill himself to avoid capture during clashes with rival Islamic State allied jihadists in the north of the country, two intelligence sources said Thursday. Shekau's Boko Haram faction and fighters from the Islamic State West Africa province had been battling in the northern Borno state where ISWAP, ISWAP, or as India Sierra Whiskey Alpha Papa militants, have become the dominant force in Nigeria's more than decade-long jihadist insurgency. Shekau, who made international headlines when his men kidnapped nearly 300 schoolgirls in Chibok in 2014, has been reported dead several times since Boko Haram began its insurgency in 2009. After a series of clashes, Shekau and some of his fighters were surrounded on Wednesday by ISWAP. Jihadists in Boko Haram's Sambisa Force stronghold, where they demanded he surrender, one intelligence source said. To avoid being captured, Shekau shot himself in the chest, and the bullet pierced his shoulder, the source said, adding that he was badly injured. Some of his men managed to escape with him to an unknown destination. Shekau has been declared injured or dead several times before. A second intelligence source said Shekau was critically wounded after detonating explosives in the house he was holed up with his men. Boko Haram and ISWAP have fought battles for control of the territory in the past, and ISWAP has emerged as a stronger force, carrying out complex attacks. That was a little longer than it needed to, but I kind of like the way these guys write, so there we go. We'll kind of speed it up here. In Zambia, Zambia opposition leader Hichilema cleared to run for president. The name's H-I-C-H-I-L-E-M-A, so I was going to go with Hichilema, unless it tells me otherwise. Zambia's main opposition candidate, Hakainde Hichilema, was officially nominated for the presidential election scheduled for August in Lusaka on Wednesday, as dozens of Zambians demand change for food and for thought. The poor, landlocked South African country of 17 million people is officially in default. Its external debt is estimated at nearly 10 billion euros, half of which is held by private creditors. This debt issue and the economic difficulties plaguing the country are expected to dominate the election, in which HH, so as he is nicknamed by his supporters at the head of the United Party for National Development, or UPND, is expected to face the incumbent president Edgar Lungu. Behind Mr. Hichilema, opposition parties and activists have formed an alliance called the UPND Alliance for the Zambia We Want. Zambia has enjoyed relative stability since its first election in 1991. We'll vote in presidential and parliamentary elections on August 12th. Pretty cool. The Guinean government denies preventing opponents from traveling abroad. This is coming from Guinea. Travel restrictions against some political personalities in Guinea, especially from the opposition, do not fall within the domain of executive and political power, the government spokesman Tibu Kamara told the press on Thursday after a session of the Council of Ministers. Okay. All right, we got two left here. Mozambique's displaced lament grim camp conditions. So people displaced by fighting in northern Mozambique have spoken of the horrible conditions they have had to endure. Remember Cabo Delgado, they had a big gas pipeline that got attacked. In northern Mozambique has the scene of attacks over the past 3.5 years, and it's killed more than 2,500 people and displaced 700,000 more, some of whom are temporarily housed in an area in and around Pemba. either way, either with family members or in transit camps. According to the International Organization for Migration, the 25 Dehunho camp, the largest in Matuge, a town an hour's drive from Pemba, the provincial capital, is home to more than 30,000 people who fled the violence in the far north of Cabo Delgado. Wow, that's wild. According to recent figures, the IOM is assisting a total of 900,000 people, including displaced persons from Cabo Delgado, but also populations affected in 2019 by the passage of cyclones Idai and Kenneth in the center and north of the country. Some are still waiting to be relocated. Oh, I'm getting dry. And here we go. And this one, our friends, we're going to talk about Morocco again, or Spain and Morocco again. España is... It's famous, as we would say in com. Oh, yeah, by the way, if you want to chat during the show, you can SSH over to SDF and pop into com. The com program is just COM, hit enter, press G for go to, and then Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word. And then you can chat with other folks about what you're hearing on the radio, or if you have any thoughts about that. All you have to do to sign up is SSH is new at SDF.org. And then follow the sign-up instructions. So, fun times. All right, so what's going on? Well, on Thursday, dozens of migrants could be seen queuing in front of Spain's Ceuta, Ceuta. I'm going to put it on a sticky note somewhere. Spain's Ceuta border control after having succeeded to cross the border. Earlier this week, security forces were seen struggling to contain the crowd of migrants coming from Morocco, followed by an unprecedented sudden influx of immigrants that saw over 8,000 people cross the border. Spain said on Thursday it had already managed to deport some 6,000 people back to Mexico. 6,000 people back to Morocco. Most of those who entered into the Spanish enclave of Ceuta were young men and teenagers who said they were willing to do anything to escape unemployment, poverty, and hunger. Since the arrival of the pandemic, living conditions have been severely affected in North African country. The Spanish government receives the support of top European officials, with European Commission Vice President Marguerite Schinas warning that Europe won't let itself be intimidated by anyone on the issue of migration in the veiled allusion to Morocco. Rabat responded in the form of a flurry of angry dispatches published by the official MAP news agency, saying that Morocco is a sovereign country and not the police of Europe. Pretty interesting. Sounds like there's...
Resistance is futile.
Yes. Huh. Anyway, we'll have to hear it back later and see if the sound effects are way louder than the... They were. Very much. All right. What else do we got? Well, we got tech news. Aw, yeah. You ready for this?
Is it time for tech news?
It is. It is.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Yep, and let's whip this out. Hackers, but the good guys? What? HSE cyber attack. Hackers bail out Irish Health Service for free. Hackers responsible for causing widespread disruption to the Irish health system have unexpectedly gifted it with the tool to help it recover. The Conti ransomware group was reportedly asking the health service provider, health service, for $20 million U.S. to restore services after the catastrophic hack. But now, the criminals have handed over the software tool for free. The Irish government says it is testing the tool and insists it did not and would not be paying the hackers. Conti is still threatening to publish or sell data it had stolen unless a ransom is paid. On the Darknet website, it told HSE, "We are providing the decryption tool for your network for free, but you should understand that we will sell or publish a lot of private data if you will not connect us and try to resolve the situation." So, sounds very clear. It was unclear why the hackers gave them the tool, known as a decryption key, for free, said Health Minister Stephen Donnelly. No ransom's been paid, directly or indirectly, so they don't know what happened. So, we'll see how it goes. I think it's kind of neat. I always think it's weird whenever hacker groups are like, oh, sorry, okay, here you go, my bad, and then they just go on with their life. There's a big battle going on in the U.S. Between Apple and Epic Games. Tim Cook, the chief executive of Apple, took the stand on Friday as the star witness in a high-stakes case brought by Epic Games that could upend the company's business model. The trial stems from an antitrust lawsuit filed last year by Epic Games. Sorry, one sec. There we go. Sorry about that. We. The trial stems from an antitrust lawsuit filed by Epic Games, the maker of the wildly popular video game Fortnite. The game became the most popular in the world in recent years, generating more than $9 billion with a B total revenue for Epic in 2018 and 2019. Epic is challenging Apple over how much of that profit it gets to cash in on, trying to prove that the way the tech giant runs its app store amounts to a monopoly. The App Store is the only way for people to install apps and software on their iPhones and iPads, and Apple charges app makers a commission of up to 30% on in-app transactions. In testimony Friday, Cook reiterated Apple's argument that it closely reviews the apps on its App Store for privacy and security purposes. Cook said he would not trust any third-party firm to vet apps for the App Store. In the case of the App Store, we review every app that goes to the store, he said. There can be malicious things that can occur, things that will vacuum up people's data, malware. The list is pretty long. The court battle Cook arrived at on Friday marks the latest in a high-profile fight between a game giant and one of the biggest companies in the world. Fortnite first challenged Apple by knowingly violating its in-app policies in August 2020 and launching its own in-app payment system that bypassed Apple's 30% fee. Apple responded to this by pulling the Fortnite game from the App Store, leading Epic to launch a crusade against Apple that brought on board allies including Spotify, Tinder-owned Match Group, and other companies that opposed the store's rules. Cook reportedly prepared extensively for this highly anticipated testimony, his most extensive public remarks yet on the App Store, which anchors Apple's $53.8 billion services business. Wild, right? Sorry, believe it or not, I only got like 2 hours of sleep. So as I'm going along, sometimes if I lose focus on the story, I don't know. It's just a bit hard to ping it back up. All right, we got about 2 minutes to go. Thanks for listening. I'm sorry that I'm all over the place. Working on it. I'm focusing. Alabama lifts yoga ban in public schools, but bars pose names over fears of... rise in Hinduism. So what kind of anti-religious freedom kind of stuff is this? Alabama has lifted its decades-long ban of yoga in public schools, but instructors are still barred from saying traditional names due to its connection to Hinduism. Governor Kay Ivey, a Republican, signed the new bill into law on Thursday, overriding a yoga ban adopted by the State Board of Education. Despite the bill's passage, the ancient practice... will still have some restrictions when taught in public schools. In the bill, it outlined the yoga instruction will be limited to poses, exercise, and stretching techniques. I lost it. See, that's what happens. I'm too tired. I blink, and then I hold the blink for 1 second too long. The bill still bans chanting mantras, mudras, the use of mandalas, and for instructors to say the traditional namaste greetings. Some conservative groups have asked for yoga in public schools to be prohibited due to its connections to Hinduism and Buddhism, as they claim the practice is a religious activity. So, see what happens there. What else? Oh, here's another story before we go. Amazon closes U.S. construction site after 7 nooses discovered. This is more of a social...
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Press 9 on your touch tone phone.